Mr. Chairman, my lords, ladies and gentlemen, when I was invited to come and talk to you this afternoon, a friend of mine who was present added very properly, of course, you also asked some important people. And I felt it really was a very proper observation because, goodness knows, I have no claim whatever to your attention, apart from the fact that I happen, as it were, to have something in the bag. Or to misquote an old slogan, you want the best records, and we happen to have them. But I was passed a note a few moments ago from a solicitor's friend saying that I really didn't feel to have done very much justice to this luncheon. But in fact, I talk to you now with feelings rather of terror than of hunger, because looking down this list of distinguished guests, I'm reminded, firstly, that it doesn't say very long ago since I had the misfortune to lose most of Mr. Priestley's most valued records. And it isn't a much longer period ago since I played what could only be described as a dastardly trick on Mr. E.V. Knox by recording him at the Authors Club when he wasn't looking, or perhaps I should say when he wasn't listening. Another name on the invitation card takes my mind back some 25 years, when Sanderson of Arundel, who was then my headmaster, told me that he hoped he would be able to teach me at least two things. The first was history, and the second was Mr. H.G. Wells. I found it expedient, I remember, to concentrate on the latter, because he was a very close personal friend of Mr. Sanderson's, and Mr. Sanderson had a way of being able to make his weight felt in more senses than one. As to history, well, when I look along this table and see so many people who have either written histories or actually made history, I realize that for me, to begin to talk about the lessons, the historical lessons our records could teach us, would be a mere presumption. We have about 10,000 historical records at Broadcasting House. And I should like to play them all to you this afternoon, but I understand that that would take about a year. The statisticians tell me that if we placed all the records end to end, they would reach from here to Mr. Foyle's bookshop, and that if we placed them on top of each other in a pile, they would be as high as the Tower of Babel. The important point is that they do constitute a sort of cross-section of human activity in all its forms. And they do serve, as I think you'll agree when you've heard some of them, as a supplement to the biographical and historical literature of our time. For instance, to be able to recall the actual voice of Sarah Bernhardt, or as to what King John said about his luggage, whether the Ministry of Information would have allowed us actually to produce them without censoring them, I can't say. Well, the first record of which I'm going to play an extract this afternoon is, as Mr. Goodale has said, the voice of Mr. Gladstone. And I want to tell you this about it before you hear it, that when we first secured this record, and I played it over to the Viscountess Gladstone of Howden and Sir George Lewson Gore, they asked me, if ever I played it on an occasion of this kind, to tell you that, of course, in the conditions in which it was made, over half a century ago, it cannot be said to do justice to that great voice. He shouted these few words into the comparatively crude instrument which Mr. Edison had made for the purpose. And although, as I say, it does not do justice to his voice, it does mean that there is some fragment of his voice kept for posterity.